You're listening to the Effective Statistician, episode number 36, How to Prepare for Your Year-End Review to Stand Out. Welcome to the Effective Statistician with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, the weekly podcast for statisticians in the health sector designed to improve your leadership skills, widen your business acumen, and enhance your efficiency. We are creating an online course, and we are talking about this for some episodes now. Register your interest for this course on our homepage, theeffectivestatistician.com/course. In today's episode, we'll chat about performance management and especially the end-year review. How it looks like from both sides, because both Benjamin and myself are supervisors. We share lots of practical tips to be successful and especially also how this helps you in the long term. This podcast is created in association with PSI, a global member organization dedicated to leading and promoting best practice and industry initiatives. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to special interest groups, the video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. Visit the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Hi, this is another episode of The Effective Statistician. Today it's just Benjamin and myself. Hi, Benjamin, how are you doing?
Hello, Alexander. Well, yeah, good. It's end of the year, almost.
Almost end of the year. And what happens every year end? The year end review.
Well, year end review every year. Did you have your year end review already? No, you don't. I'm asking the question because we already had our year end review. Because our year end review is at the end of the fiscal year, which is at our company. End of June. So we already had our year-end review, even though it's not the end of the year.
No, I don't. I didn't have it yet. So you are after the year-end review, and I'm in front of my year-end review. So very good. Do you actually know where it comes from, these performance reviews?
No, not in detail.
So actually, the first organizations that did year-end reviews or annual reviews were the armies. And what's really interesting about it is it was initially done without the people concerned. So it was just for the supervisors.
So the supervisors talked about their staff, basically, and reviewed their performance over the year.
Yep. And it's really just from a kind of turnover perspective, which is, you know, in military, in war times, probably kind of pretty frequent, unfortunately. So you need to have a very good succession planning and very good kind of performance reviews, so that when it comes to kind of, okay, we need to replace a person, who is a successor? Yeah. So that's where it's actually come from. And only in, you know, at some point thereafter, the businesses actually incorporated it into their life and evaluate that and then kind of link all kind of other the things with it. And of course, created all kind of different forms for it.
But I think it might even still happening that there's a performance review without the staff involved. I mean, just on a manager level or supervisor level. However, this is not what we are talking about today.
No. Today we are actually talking about, hopefully you have a year-end review with your supervisor. And if you don't, ask for it. And if you have some HR forms that you need to fill out, okay, fill them out. But today we are really not talking about the forms. Oh my God. If I remember my starting time in pharma, it was all about kind of filling out the forms and, you know, wordsmithing every kind of sentence in it, and it took forever to kind of fill it in. That was horrible. And it was, yeah.
No, but this is, I think we have to complete a form as well, but this is really just about, you know, that's not the key of the year-end review, and it shouldn't be the key for anyone. I think that the documentation of the year-end review is one important thing to do for yourself, but also for your supervisor. But it's this is not shouldn't be the key part of the year-end review, obviously.
Yeah, I think for the year-end review, you know, for me personally, I think it's also a very, very good time to reflect on my personal year. Yeah, so it's not just kind of the job goals, but also my personal goals. And so they incorporate my job goals, but it's kind of all gets together. And so therefore, of course, you need to have pretty good goals at the beginning. Otherwise, it's pretty bad to measure yourself against them.
Yeah, that's true. But I think setting the goals is one of the aspects for the year-end review, but we'll capture this in one of the following episodes.
Yep.
This is coming up, actually next year. So after.
Yep.
No,
stay
but
tuned.
Yep. talking about really the year-end review itself. So, I mean, it's called year-end review, and obviously the year-end is only once a year. But how often do you then just reflect this with your supervisor in general? Because I think the year-end review can be really different from individual to individual, from company to company, from supervisor to supervisor. Because, you know, for example, I'm talking quite frequently to my supervisor, and we are sharing information, we are sharing, giving feedback, you know, following up on certain topics all over the time, you know, all over the year. So the year-end review is more the formalization of what we basically, there shouldn't be any surprises. There haven't been hardly any surprises.
Yeah. So if there are any surprises, then something went really terrible or wrong. And usually it's actually the fault of the supervisor. So as a supervisor, you should never have any surprises in your year-end review with your direct reports.
Well, yeah, that's true, but it's not always the fault of the supervisor.
No. If there are surprises, then it's a fault of the supervisor, because then he hasn't communicated that in time. So, you know, maybe there's some, you know, differential interpretation of certain events, but there shouldn't be kind of any, you know, new things coming up in the year-end review that happened in August that you never talked about. Mm-hmm. So, both from the bad as well as from the good side. So, if you don't talk kind of regularly to your supervisor, then maybe that's a good goal for next year to start doing that. Yeah. Actually, I have at least two times a year through the year, I have kind of formal reviews with my team and also with my supervisor.
Yeah, we do have it even four times a year, quarterly review meetings with the individuals. So that is helping a lot. But even, I mean, you know, 3 months is also could be or can be a long time. So I'm trying to really talk about anything that comes up as soon as it comes up and not wait for the next quarterly review or even.
Yes. Feedback needs to be timely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. But going back to the year-end review.
Okay. Let's go back to the year-end review. I think, you know, it's really good if you, at the beginning of the year, you have set yourself good goals. And good goals, I mean, in terms of goals that you can actually be measured upon. So they need to be specific, measurable, actionable. They also should be kind of risky. So in terms of, they need to be a challenge for yourself. Of course, they need to be kind of time keyed. And What I think is also, so these are also kind of smart things, but there's some nice additions from Michael Hyatt in terms of that they also should be exciting and relevant within the overall context of your life. And we'll put that into the show notes. And that's also something very, very helpful to think about for your goals for next year, both for your personal as well as your job goals. But if you have these kind of measurable and you kind of have tracked them throughout the year, of course, that is the most easy starting point for that. But in reality, mostly that doesn't look like that.
Well, to be honest, so it should be not only be smart, they should even be smarter.
Yeah, they should be smarter. Yeah.
Exciting and relevant. No, I agree. And it's this is something where where the goals or the goal setting and also then the year-end review is usually struggling with in measuring performance for yourself, but also from your supervisor. Because many goals or many type of or topics that you're talking about might not fit into this smart scheme where, you know, for example, it's measurable.
Yeah, in terms of, you know, what I mostly struggle with is measurable.
Yeah.
Because I think we as statisticians think about measurable in terms of it is something that is measurable in terms of there's a scale or it's, you know, a quantity or something like this. But I think it's also qualitative things can be measurable. So did you have good feedback? Yeah. Did you did something that is better than what usually has been done? Of course, it's great if you can have kind of, we saved the company kind of 2 months or something like this, or we reduced the cost for the study by 50% or these kind of things. These are, of course, great measures, but most of our activities are not that easily measurable, like in, let's say, sales.
Yeah, and also, I mean, as your example already is kind of, you know, what does it mean to be better than anyone else or somebody else or do it better than somebody else? Because you usually don't do the same. You do something, you repeat, so for example, a process, and giving the environment of the working time, it's difficult to measure whether this is better or not to somebody else. So that's, it might be possible, I agree, but that's the tricky part about measuring, that it's not, you know, it's not black and white. It's really like a usually process or some development is to be done, and this was done before, and it's, you can compare it, but I mean, we are statisticians, we know that we can't necessarily compare A and B, and that's the tricky thing about measuring success or measuring performance.
You know, what other word comes to my mind when I think about measurable? It's impact. You know, you can have, you know, lots of specific, measurable, actionable goals that don't actually mean anything. Don't know. You have a goal that you turn in your expenses on time. Well, that's great, measurable. Kind of, you can just measure the time from whether you have completed your expense report forms always kind of, I don't know, 2 weeks after the event or something like this. You can easily measure that, but does it have an impact? So I think if you have something that is impactful, then usually there is some measure about it. And sometimes that it might be just qualitative in terms of you get, you know, really, really good senior management feedback about it. Yeah. So that is some qualitative measure.
Yeah. So I think it's also what I think is important then for the year end review is to, not to concentrate it all over the year, but still do, you know, during your job that you do over the year, keep it in mind that at the end of the year or in between, you need to kind of bring this to the table. What did you do? So what is your success? What is your measurable or as you said, what is the impact of the work that you did? And I think there are, there are quite a few tips or quite a few helpful things that you can think of during the year in order to prepare for the year-end review easily.
Yeah. So preparation is, I think, here is the absolute keyword. So this episode is all about how you to prepare. And of course, optimally, preparation starts with the beginning of the year for the end of the year review. But let's say you haven't been that consistent in keeping everything. So how do you approach your year-end review? Where do you start with?
You review the goals.
Okay, very good. And then?
Well, you just, just go through what you did over the last year, trying to summarize or trying to find evidence for the success or the impact or the relevance of the topics or of the work that you did. Mm-hmm. I mean, just as an example, I mean, what you mentioned before, positive feedback. If somebody is, let it be the client or different, from different departments, your colleagues, from your team, or even, if you as a supervisor, if it's about your own staff, if your own staff is, giving positive feedback about you as a supervisor, which is part of your responsibility to be a supervisor, collect it, keep it, bring it up. Yeah. This is something where you can easily bring this to the table and say, this is, where I have been successful, it has been recognized, it had an impact, and here it is.
Actually, that's a pretty good thing to have anyway, some kind of folder where you store all your recognition. That also helps if you're really kind of having a bad time. You can look into this and kind of see, maybe I'm not that bad as a statistician if I get these recognitions. And of course, sometimes projects go south and then, that's good for your ego. That's a very, very good kind of thing to go into. What I also, go back to is I look into my calendar over the year and look kind of what were the events and things like this. And that kind of helps me to kind of travel back in time. So where have I been at the beginning of the year? What was Alexander at the beginning of the year? How did he thought about the year? What kind of problems did he have? And where have he been? And then I compare that with myself being now. What have I learned? How have I developed myself? Where were the areas where I went out of my comfort zone, where I stretched myself? And these are the usually very good indicators of areas of success, areas of, or maybe also failure, but usually these are areas of importance. These things where it went completely smoothly, there was kind of no emotional things involved, usually that's not the key things for the year and for a few.
Yeah, and I think it is also, the calendar is an excellent idea because it also gives you the kind of a summary of what you have achieved, not only like successfully, but just giving back, what is the last on your studies, on your projects. So what has happened? What were the key deliveries? What were the key meetings? Discussions, publications, whatsoever. So this is really giving you also traveling back in time in terms of your actual work that was done that you would like to discuss.
Yeah, and I think for me, the calendar is especially important because I have more than just meetings in there. I also have kind of appointments with just myself in there. So things where I knew I needed to put in time for to get certain thing done, then I have that in my calendar so that the time is blocked and I don't get other meetings in there. So my calendar is usually pretty full and completely kind of booked with either meetings with other people or meetings with myself. So that's why for me personally, the calendar is super important. Others I know also use quite a lot email. So they go through their email trails and see kind of what were the hot topics, what was kind of the achievements, the different discussions. It's less useful for me because just the amount of email is too big.
Yeah, I mean, this will only make sense if you collect them during the year automatically, more or less, if you have something important that you receive, be an achievement, a thanks, you know, a thankful email or like positive feedback, or is it, you know, thank you for delivering the final analysis. So kind of the key emails, so where you can trace the important points that you don't have to search for in the calendar anymore.
Yeah.
So that's I agree. I mean, the amount of emails it's massive. So doing this retrospectively over a year, it's basically impossible. Or you need full day to spend on that.
So. Yeah, but actually, how much time do you need to spend? Do you need to prepare for your end of year performance review?
It is not a day, not a full day, simply because what I said, we have quarterly reviews. So it is not that I have to go back in time for a year, and it's rather than that we do, you know, a kind of a shorter period that is the most important one. And there's a, you know, I take notes from previous meeting with, you know, me as a supervisor and also for myself. So it is quite frequent that we meet and have a follow-up. So I think I usually, we have the preparation in writing. So we put in, you know, we have the goals in a system. We put in our achievements, our comments, our judgments, personal judgments to it, and, you know, submit it to the supervisor. So this takes me usually half a day, 3 hours maybe.
Yeah.
To prepare for this one. I would say it depends also on, you know, what is in there and what the year was about. So,
yeah. So I would say, yeah, about half a day, 3 hours, that would be the same for me to, you know, travel back in time to get everything together, to sort everything. So what I really do is I once had stored weekly achievement reviews. I know I should be better in it, but I'm not that super good in it. And if you, of course, have, you know, a couple, you know, 40 weekly achievement reviews, then that's a great kind of place to start from. But all you have there is, you know, already kind of summed up in quarterly reviews. That's perfect. Yes, and you can basically work from there. But it's really kind of, for me, you know, the first step is collating everything together. It's really kind of, you know, brainstorming, research, putting all the materials together. And then what I do is, because my end goal would be to have kind of 3 to 5 key hits for the PM, maybe also some misses included in there. And so I try to just group them together into, you know, according to themes. That depends very often on what you work on. So of course, if you work on just, let's say, 1 or 2 studies, are really big studies, maybe, you know, you have different themes within these studies or something like this, or different kind of deliverables that you have. These could be themes, but it could also be kind of methodological themes, or it could be kind of development themes, you know, that you wanted to go into certain kind of areas, how to develop yourself kind of methodologically, how to develop yourself as a leader, how you kind of developed yourself in terms of business acumen. It could be also themes. So, but it's great to have these kind of overarching themes and then group everything of what you have in these kind of area. And then I try to sum up these themes into one sentence.
But isn't it that this is usually in line with what your goals are? So kind of, I mean, if you agreed on goals for the year, and you don't, I mean, and you start kind of grouping the topics in a different way, but shouldn't it be in line, just for easier understanding and discussion, shouldn't it be in line with the actual goals?
Yeah, somehow, but I'm sometimes a little bit flexible here. So kind of the goals are sometimes, in my area, I'm working a lot in medical affairs. There's lots of kind of changes throughout the years. There's lots of new opportunities coming up. So my goals are maybe not as specific as they are maybe in other areas. So, and they kind of keep changing over the year. I guess that might be similar in other areas, for example, if you work in early clinical research or in preclinical or things like that, where kind of there's constant kind of flow of new projects. And at the beginning of the year, you don't even know what you will work on in August. So then, of course, it's you need to set goals that are
flexible enough.
And so, or that you adjust over the year. And so that's why I think, you know, not completely sticking to exactly the goals is helpful. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. No, I agree that if there's a reason for not sticking to the goals, but then they should, you know, you should avoid sticking to the goals because it wouldn't make any sense. However, I think it's more what I'm more aiming for at is that the that if you group it according to what happened rather than according to what should happen, even if there's an overlap, it's probably easier to keep it in the way that the goals are sorted. Just, I mean, there's also like the thought behind is that not every year necessarily, but especially if it's about promotions or any. You know, big change or where you have been extremely successful, that your supervisor will need to sell your achievements to their supervisors.
Yeah.
In order to justify any decision or any progress, any promotion whatsoever. So this is, and that might be different from supervisor to supervisor or super supervisor to super supervisor again, but the point is that people tend to open the notes in the system and read what is in there.
Yeah.
And given the fact that, you know, then the explanations to it differ from the goals might be confusing if they are not as much involved in your day-to-day business as your supervisor is.
Yeah, so, it absolutely helps if you have kind of similar wording like in your overall goal, so that you can see the connection between what you have actually done the year and what you plan to do the year. Yeah, of course, if they're completely kind of separate, that would be awkward.
Yeah, I mean, I'm planning to be successful in study A, and then be at the end you started to do your time, you know, your expensive in time, expenses in time. So that's, you know, it's really not necessarily in line. No, but I think what is an important point, since I mentioned it now with the supervisor, is that whatever you put in the system, always remember that this can be read by anyone in the hierarchy above you, usually.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. So meaning that if you spend 5 minutes in completing your year-end review, and the next year you're trying to go for promotion, people will scroll back in your history and see how you performed last year or the last years. And so, and they will see that last year you just, you know, said, well, yeah, I was good in this, and yeah, I was successful here, and I completed the project. So the time that you spend in doing the year-end review is extremely important. Not necessarily for the time being, for the year-end itself, but for your career or for your progress within the company. So talking about spending 3-4 hours with half a day, whatever, take as much time as you need, and always consider that this is not just the like kind of a review round with your supervisor. It's in most companies, I believe, key to your progress and your career within the company.
Yeah, and you know, for me, I think it's also key for further promotions. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
If you have a good documentation of what you have achieved through the last, let's say, 3 to 5 years, that basically is the material that you use for your to argue about your promotion. You know, you say, okay, 5 years ago I did this, 3 years ago I did this, 2 years ago I did this, and you can see, okay, consistently I have progressing myself, and I'm playing now on a different kind of level, and I'm contributing much more than 5 years ago. And that is based on your performance management reviews. And if you have that material together, that is the easiest material that you can have to build your case for your promotion. And also, it helps your supervisor to defend your promotion. It helps your supervisor defend any kind of salary increases or bonuses or whatsoever, you know. Because let's be realistic, you know, when it comes to money, people look into exactly these kind of things.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And actually, we had an episode on how to sell your achievements. When was it? It was in September, I think.
22nd of September, yeah.
22nd of September. And this might be very helpful as well to kind of understand or kind of prepare, not only to put it in writing and get the topics of it, but also then to sell it to your supervisor.
Yeah, so I know there's very, very different kind of forms out there. You know, sometimes you write very, very long paragraphs into your performance reviews. Sometimes you maybe just can put it into abstract style. But what is really, really helpful if you have something like 3 key bullet points for your supervisor. So that he can use kind of as an elevator pitch when it comes to defending your performance. Yeah. So, because especially in kind of in larger organizations, you know, there will be kind of, there's not an endless pot of money that is distributed, but finite pot of money. And so there's be always kind of discussions between the supervisors, which one gets more. And if you equip your supervisor with good bullet points, that basically helps for your money, for your salary increases. And just kind of a couple of the 5 different things to think about, you know. What was the impact that you achieved? What was any hurdles that you overcome? Yeah. What was different from just usual work? What was your unique contribution to this? And what are the wins for the company? And wins for the company is, you know, it's basically wins for your supervisors and higher up supervisors. If it's if it's a win for them, then it goes into their performance management as well. So, and that's where you can help your supervisors to shine. And if your supervisor shines, then you can shine as well. So, maybe sound a little bit.
Make your supervisor shine.
That's reality. Let's face it. Yeah. So it's we're not in kindergarten here. It's kind of, you know, it's if you can make your supervisor shine and this supervisor can make his supervisor shine, that's, you know, these are the things that go up the ladder.
Yeah. So just reemphasize, I'm a supervisor, you're a supervisor. So please, everyone, let your supervisors shine.
Okay.
No, but seriously, it's a good point. It's really about the success is not, it's not, you know, you can't have in a company where you work together with colleagues, with, you know, in groups, in departments whatsoever. If you are successful, it is not, you know, that you have the success. You can't keep it to yourself. It's something that you share. Yeah. Everyone shares. So yeah. And also then with your department group.
Yeah, and this is for me also something that is very important about the goal setting. You know, goal setting should be something that is where you create a win-win situation between personal goals and company goals. So these need to go together. So there's and there's kind of development is a key thing. So something that where you grow, where you develop, where you learn, where you stretch yourself, these are things you wouldn't want to work on. And these should be also reflected in the projects and the tasks and the goals from the company perspective. And the better you can match these things together, the easier the overall system works.
Yep.
So, just kind of going back to how to sell your achievements. There's a formula that we also talk about this in the episode we just mentioned. It's situation, task, action, result, STAR. Just as an example, you know, situation could be there was a study that you planned for with a pretty long recruitment time and actually clinical operations overestimated things, and it's actually much faster than anticipated. And now you have an early database log, you have accelerated timelines, and the task is now you need to provide results in time. So that's a task that differentiates from what you actually do. So what do you do to provide results in time? Maybe you reduce the unique tables to, don't know, 8 instead of 40. So, and you streamlined the programming and you applied maybe visualization based on results data sets to make everything easier to digest and increase speed and decrease cost via that as well. And then the result is you reduced cost, you reduced the time, so you accelerated things, results. This can also be qualitative, like meeting the database log timeline, recognition from Fred, the senior VP, for easy displays of the results, making him very happy and helping him with his decision-making. So these are then the results. So situation, task, action, result.
Yeah, that's a good description of you know, how, you know, where you can kind of put this together in a really short frame to kind of give the full, but still give the full picture and the results, which is, you know, where it comes to play, where, you know, how successful you actually, or your impact was.
Yeah, and of course, it's about the impact, you know. But also be realistic. Not everything is usually happy over the year. So if you can only sell your achievements, that's great. But realistically, there also will be some misses. So how do you deal with misses?
Well, you should have you should have good explanations for them. Not necessarily saying, you know, finger pointing to somebody else, but really, you know, kind of showing that you have reflected any failure is a strong word, but you know, any misses correctly, but also kind of get the lessons learned out of it. So why, you know, what had happened? So what went wrong? And how will you avoid to have this, do the same mistakes in the future? So put things, you know, into the perspective, really show that you take the lessons from anything that went wrong or not as good as expected, and prove that you did your lessons learned. For, you know, bring it in the context of, for example, the next study, saying that, you know, at this time I missed to communicate the timelines correctly on the time, but you know, next, for the next interim analysis or whatever, here's what I did. I sent out the timelines in time and everything went well.
Yeah, that is actually a very, very good approach. If you can show already that you learned from it, that's brilliant. Of course, if you have messed up things in November, that's usually a bad time.
So aim for the promotion next year then.
The other thing is, I know of supervisors that kind of bring up misses, you know, that are maybe not that important overall. So you have saved the company a couple of millions of dollars and whatsoever, and then at the end of the year they come up with, well, you had, you know, this star achievement and this star achievement, but you were twice late with your expenses.
Yeah, it's but it's also the way how you present it sometimes, because you know, if you go into the room and say, well, you know, I've been great in here and great in grill, and then at the end the question comes, so but what went wrong? So what's the lessons learned? It's also a point of, you know, the last topics that you discuss is what you know, what stays in the room.
Yeah.
So be intelligent in bringing up your, you know, your turning around any misses, turn around any, you know, weaknesses that you had, and bring it to a positive end. The topic itself, but then also, for example, start with the bad and then end with the good.
Yep, that's a very, very good advice. And if you can reflect on the bad things, and if you know about the bad things, that is always a very, very good sign for your supervisors. Do you remember the discussions we had with Simon about supervisors? You know, he said, as a supervisor, you don't want to have someone that is not self-aware, because these are the people that are really, really hard to supervise. And to be honest, these are the people that will have a hard time to get promoted. So if you can show that you can reflect about your behavior, and if you can communicate the lessons learned, that shows for your supervisor, okay, that's not a, you know, that's under control. And the worst thing that you can have as a supervisor is bad surprises and mistakes not under control.
And also, I mean, on the other hand, it's also if you have a, you know, if you do a mistake and you do it twice, it's kind of a losing situation as well. So it's really about, you know, putting this into the realistic content as well, to not only preparing, you know, the year-end review. I mean, you can't turn around bad performance into like a glorious promotion.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, there, I mean, there are obviously we are talking about how to present yourself the best, and you know how to prepare for it. That's true. But at the end, you know, if you repeatedly do the same mistakes, you know, don't bring in the lessons learned. So be realistic.
Yeah,
be
yeah.
You know, if you realize that's really something, then put it into the goals for the next year. But don't say that you already learned from it.
Yeah.
So be realistic. Be the truth. I mean, the supervisors usually are not, you know, are also quite smart people usually. So it helps to be honest and to be realistic on that one as well.
Yeah. So. And one other thing. So if you now listen to this and you think back, how should I ever kind of complete this year-end review? I don't have the material. I don't have any kind of good goals. I don't have any, you know, things that we just talked about in the last 40 minutes, what I can use for my to easily structure my year-end PM review. Learn from it. And make things better next year, because how we say in Germany, after performance review is before performance review. Okay, so just kind of as a summary, we talked about today about goal setting, and that there's different ways of goal setting, and we talked about Michael Hyatt's SMARTER acronym with goal setting. And by the way, you can find that also in the show notes. So just check out theeffectivestatistician.com. Go to this episode, and there you will find the show notes, including also the link to Michael's goal setting article. You start for your preparation for the year-end review by collating all the materials that you have, yeah, and going through your calendars and all these kind of other things, recognitions, things like that. Then you try to group things into themes, summarize them into an elevator pitch, think about the formula, situation, task, action, result. Don't forget about your misses. And then I think you're pretty well prepared. And by the way, the better you're prepared, the better you will have a year-end review, because I think that is one of the last impressions that the supervisor gets from you before he goes into any salary discussions. So maybe you can at least wow your supervisor with a really, really well-prepared year-end review.
Excellent. Thanks a lot. And talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Bye. So, as I said at the beginning, don't forget to register your interest in the leadership program at theeffectivestatistician.com/course. This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks for listening. Please visit theeffectivestatistician.com to find the show notes and learn more about our podcast to boost your career as a statistician in the health sector.